Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. السلام عليكم brothers. الحمد لله وفق الله سبحانه وتعالى as Ustad Kamal said, for bringing us together today, Christmas Day, to carve into some knowledge, some understanding from our deen, not to carve into the Christmas turkey, to benefit so that we leave here energized, wiser, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and willing to become those people who join the efforts to serve Him for the return of the Khilafah. The title the brothers gave, it says the fall of Fir'aun and the rise of the Khilafah. And you know, when you think about it, looking at a lot of us in this hall, we're very young. This is big talk. The rise of Khilafah. It's a big deal. If I can rephrase it, I would say we are talking tonight about the rise of a superpower. To make it even sound like a really big deal. A superpower. When you say superpower in the world today, do people think about Saudi Arabia? Do people think about Egypt? Do people think about Pakistan? Do people think about countries which are an example for the world to look at? So if we are saying from Egypt, from Pakistan, from Sudan, from Malaysia, from Indonesia, could rise, will rise soon inshallah, a superpower, somebody will say, you're talking too big. This is big talk. This is dream it. This is pie in the sky. Because if you look at those countries today, what do you see? Our parents used to make dua many, many years ago. Before some of us were born, they used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to liberate, to help the Muslims of Palestine. Because Palestine has been occupied for more than 40 years. They used to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims of Kashmir, which has been occupied for more than 40 years. But in the last 10, 20 years, we have added to that list. We, in our growing up time, we saw Bosnia. We saw Iraq, 2003, shock and awe, devastated. People killed, butchered by the British and American war machines. So we add to their dua, we add our own dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to liberate the Muslims of Iraq and Afghanistan. We can't even look after ourselves. We can't even solve the problems in our land. We can't even defend ourselves. And you guys are sitting here today talking about the rise of a superpower. So it can sound like a dream. But as Ustad Kamal said, there is something that has happened in the last year and has been building up for the last many years. Yes, it is good to talk big. Because the potential, the potential is there in the Muslim world. The potential is there. The biggest arms contract in the world, the Al-Yamama arms contract, billions of dollars was signed by Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has F-16, has tanks, has some modern weaponry. The oil in the world, most of it is under the feet of who? The Muslim Ummah. Some of the largest armies in the world are where? Pakistan is what? Seventh largest army in the world or something like that? That's a big army. Which flies F-16s, which has men who've been prepared to die. And yet when 24 of them were killed a few weeks ago, you had cowardly rascal rulers who sit there and do nothing. Even though they killed 24 brave soldiers, these rascal rulers, they still allow America overflight rights over Pakistan till today. Egypt has over 400,000 soldiers. And next door to Egypt is Palestine, which is still occupied. What is my point? The potential, the resources, the people, the armies, the ummah has the huge potential. But we are not a superpower. And we want to change that situation upside down when we talk about the rise of the Khilafah. A change in the situation to bring all these things together, mold them, and create a new power in the world. And when we say superpower, this is something easy for us to understand. A superpower is a nation that people look up to, people refer to. Nobody looks to our Muslim countries. When there's a problem in the world, there's some new disease and they're looking for the cure. They don't say, what's the Saudi government got to say? What are the scientists in Sudan got to say? Nobody asked that. Where do they look to? They look to America. They look to Britain. They look to France. When you want to talk about the latest technology, recording equipment, this is made by who? Sony. Sharp. Huh? General Motors. So whether it is war technology, whether it is high-class machinery and architecture and things, people look to the West. And when it is solutions for life, they look to the West. And we are talking about the return of a superpower. And we are claiming the Khilafah will be that superpower. So we have a lot of questions to answer. And to start, I want to put a question in your mind. The question we want to try and answer today when we talk about the return of the Khilafah is really to think, what is the source of the power of a nation? What is the source of the power of a nation? What makes this nation strong and be a superpower and that nation not be a superpower? Even though it has over 1 billion people, even though we have 400,000 and more soldiers, even though we have oil and gas and gold and this and that, if we can answer that question, then we can say that what we're saying is real. To make my point, I will deviate in order to elaborate, if you permit me. I will deviate in order to elaborate. Bro, can you help me here? I need some audience participation. They invite speakers to come, people sit down and they listen to us speak and speak and speak. This job is for all of us. Brother, what are the words written there?
Converts and reverts.
Converts and reverts. So to answer my question, converts and reverts. You know how you felt, you're in a masjid, you're in a hall, and somebody became Muslim. How did you feel? Anybody answer. How did you feel? Sorry?
Amazing.
Amazing. Anybody else? How did you feel? Somebody became Muslim. You're here, that beer. People are hugging them. How do you feel? Feel happy. You feel happy because you know the Shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, is the truth. But when somebody else now embraces it, you say, Allahu Akbar, mashallah. It reinforces you, it makes you proud. But now, maybe some months later, some years later, you see that same person. Without mentioning names, give me an example of a convert, a revert, that embraced Islam and it totally changed their lives. What kind of thing did they become? I need some answers. Anybody here? Anybody that you know? Yes, brother. He became an imam. Allahu Akbar when he died. One minute he used to walk past the masjid and wonder, what are these funny guys saying up there? The next minute, he's leading us in salah. And I'm sure that you all have many examples of people whose lives were totally transformed. Totally transformed. One minute he drinks, he parties, the next minute he's going to Hajj. You have many examples of this. So really, for people to be changed, two things are required. And this is the first thing when we look at the example of the convert. That convert called John or Mary or whatever their name was, is still the same person. They still have the same hands, the same head, the same legs, the same mouth. But now he's reciting Fatiha with tajweed and leading us in salah when before he was a rap star talking about dirty things. What has changed in them is what? One thing. They embrace an idea. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. That is the only thing that changed. That's the only thing. And when that changed, they then took it on board and started to build their lives upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. That he has sent this Quran, this book, as a clarification to answer all questions that you have in life. And many times we're impressed by converts because when they take that step and embrace Islam, they take it and they bite it with their teeth. Now they want to live, they want to buy, they want to sell. They start to look to it. What does Islam say? What does the Quran say? What does the Sunnah say? This aqidah is the source of the change. This aqidah is the source of the power to transform an individual. To change them from this to that. But what about a nation? What about an ummah? What about over a billion people that believe in this same Aqidah? If it had the power to change one man, what does it do to a group of people? The Sahaba of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, Rajala wa anhum ajma'in, these men that we talk about, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't force them to pray. Didn't force them to go for jihad. He addressed and he changed with them one thing. Once they became convinced of the Aqidah, they thought about the life, the stars, the moon, where does it come from? There is a creator, they came to the conclusion. Once they embraced that, and they took the Quran as a source of guidance, it changed them. So when we talk about a superpower, a nation being a superpower, this is the first thing to understand. What changes the individual, comprehensively, totally, is what is also the source of a nation. It's power. That it has an idea, it has a belief, it has an aqidah, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and it takes and embraces that, and it takes its laws, its constitution, its system. Ustad Kamal was saying, in Egypt, the system hasn't changed. How you buy, how you sell, what are the laws about company? What is right, what is wrong? What are the laws to do with taxation? How do we deal with those who commit crimes? How do we deal with America and other nations? What is our relationship? Just as Mubarak left it. It is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Just my first point. The source of the power of a nation is its idea. And our idea, which is still with us today, is the aqidah of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What is the khilafah? What is the Islamic khilafah state? It is a state where the ummah appoints, elects one man. To do what? To take this aqidah, this idea, this belief in Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to take all the laws and constitution, everything that we do and how he governs us, from this one source. The khilafah is the rule that implements the sharia, which comes from the Quran and the sunnah, the aqidah of Islam. Khalas. So, the source of the power of the ummah is this. And that is why when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established this Islamic state in Medina, which he entered as a ruler, And he started to send envoys to foreign states because the Aqidah said so. He started to organize the dispute between husband and wife because the Aqidah said so. He started to make sure that the orphan and the oppressed one was looked after because Islam said so. He started to make sure that the powerful one who committed a crime was not dealt with in a lenient way like they do in our countries because the Aqidah said so. He sent armies for jihad to spread Islam and defend the Ummah because the Aqidah said so. What did the Muslim Ummah become very quickly within a few years of the life of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? We became a superpower. We became a source of technology. We became the source of solutions. And the way people look to America today, they started to look to the Muslim Ummah, the Islamic State in Medina, in Baghdad, and everywhere else. This is what happened, and this is what happened for hundreds of years. Until the Khilafah was destroyed. Because we stopped looking to the Aqidah as the source of our power. And then, as Ustad Kamal said, we then had Fir'auns put over us. Mubarak, Gaddafi, Zardari, Gilani, Kiani, you name it, we've got it. And they made sure that the Aqidah of the Muslims remains in the masjid. You say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Alhamdulillah. No problem. We have mosque, you can pray, you can fast. Excellent. But you want to bring it into politics, you want to bring it into life. Ah, no, no, no. Nay, 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 nay. How do you say it in Urdu? Yeah? So really, this is where we've come. And now, Ustad Kamal, he finished on a positive note. Because now, something is about to happen. Which is that we have the Aqidah. We embraced it. We ruled by it. We became a superpower. We did that for centuries. We were the example for the world. And then we stopped to look at the Aqidah in the way we should. We stopped to hold on to it and implement it. And then we declined. And then the Islamic Khilafah state was destroyed by the agents of the West. And then we had people rule over us. And then now, the Ummah has gone out without fear. The Ummah has gone out brave. The Ummah has gone out giving their lives. And in those demonstrations, when the bullets start to fly, in Egypt, in Syria, anywhere, you hear people say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What does the Muslim remember when you're confronted with death, with struggle? Who do you remember that can help you in this situation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see these elections and we see Islamic parties rising. And some brothers, they ask me questions. They're a bit confused. You got these uprisings in Egypt. It's good, man, but you know, things haven't changed. And I said, look, man, don't look at this like a bystander. You're just watching what's going on. Think about it. This is an awakening of the Ummah. Khilafah is not here yet. But as Ustad Kamal said, the tyrants have been overthrown. People have shown something very powerful. That they are prepared to go onto the streets and demonstrate and face bullets with their bare chest if they believe this is worth struggling for. And they believe that to change these governments, to remove Mubarak, Bin Ali, Gaddafi, all of these guys is worth struggling for. And that is what we've seen over this last year. إِنْ يَنْسُرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ If Allah Ta'ala helps you, He will grant you victory and none can overcome you. So we see some small victory given to this Ummah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these tyrants have fallen. And the question we want to finish on is what next? How do we establish the superpower? Yes, we still have the Islamic Aqidah. We still have the Quran, the Sunnah. We still have the books from Hizb al-Tahrir, from the scholars of the Ummah about the Khilafah in detail. We can establish the Khilafah, we can implement the Islamic system tomorrow. But it hasn't happened yet. And people are thinking, well, how do you get to this next step? How do you bridge that gap? Okay, we have the idea, but you know, superpower, there's still a jump. I didn't finish answering the question, what makes a superpower? Because there is one other element that makes a nation a superpower. Number one is what we've discussed. That nation has a belief, has an aqidah, that they are ready to struggle, to die for. But number two, that idea is implemented, it is followed It is established. It is practiced. And that's what's missing in the Muslim world. We are Muslims, 1 billion of us more than. We believe in the Aqidah. We're now prepared to die for it. But we have people maneuvering to cheat us. Yeah, to change the faces but not change the system. So now we need to go to the next step. There needs to be people who go to the Ummah and clarify. They make a simple point. Real change equals Islam al-Khilaf. What implements Islam practically? Islam al-Khilaf. What should we struggle and call for? Islam al-Khilaf. What should we be prepared to die for? The Islam al-Khilaf. People have shown they're willing to die for Islam, but in a general way, they're not clear. What is this Islamic system? It's simple. It is the Islam al-Khilaf. So final point. We have the idea. Islam needs workers, people, especially the youth, me and you, who work and call and move the Ummah for the call for the Khilaf. Somebody who's sick here and say, I'm in Small Heath in Birmingham. Khilaf, this is big. What's my connection to that? You're a Muslim, that's your connection. But people underestimate their own power. I, myself, don't have power. Probably you don't as well. So you think, well, if I go for khilaf, first I speak to somebody, where's that going to go? But you miss a point. You and I are part of an ummah. You have relatives in Pakistan, in Sudan, in Liberia, in Palestine. You may not control men. You may not be able to move people. Maybe somebody in the military, he can move people. A big tribal chief, he can move people. But you know a tribal chief. You know a military man. He's your relative, he's your cousin. You were in this same hall a few weeks ago having a walima for your nephew. If you speak to him and he speaks to him, until that word that we need khilafah, this is the system of Islam. It must be implemented. It is a duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until that word reaches the man who controls a tribe, who controls an army, who is an industrialist, who is a journalist, who speaks and many people listen to him, and they can move because he moves them. This is the connectivity, this is the power that you and I have. And this is what we need to do. Brothers, I finish on a final point. Call of Duty. Call of Duty. Everybody knows that game? As I was driving here, I went into the petrol station. It cost £44! I was shocked. What's my point? This game, Call of Duty, many of the Muslim youth are playing it. Call of Duty is out, man. I'm going to go to level 3. I'm on a mission, man. I'm an officer. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, it ain't going to help us. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask us, what level did you reach in Call of Duty? But yet we are Muslims, and there is a duty. There is a duty to live by this deen, to call for this deen, and to work for the implementation of this deen, and to bring back the khilafah system. That is the real call of duty that the Muslim youth need to get their heads into, need to get their voices into, need to be aware about and be involved in. Not some Nintendo or PSP game. So you have a lot of power, we have a lot of responsibility. And through our efforts of calling for this change, that it is the Islamic Khilafah system, motivating the Ummah for it, sending the message back to the Muslim world, this superpower will inshallah return. Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the famous hadith where he ended, ثُمَّ تَقُونُ خِلَافًا أَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النَّبُوَّةِ. The khilaf will return as in the way of the Prophet. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we be those who work with the Ummah. Now the Ummah is ready for change. The Ummah is ready to move, to mobilize and move her, to make it clear to her that the real change is the Khilafah. And we ask Allah ta'ala to make it in our time so that we have a Khalifa who unifies our lands, who will deploy an army to defend Muslims whenever anybody lifts a finger against them, who will look after this Ummah and implement the solution from Islam, who will let our lands by implementing Islam to be an example even for the non-Muslims who are suffering for the many problems and who are looking for an answer. And that we, the youth of this ummah, add our voice to that, add our efforts to that, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.